Oztober.
Come on, Australia.
A whole month eating solidly from the buffet that is Australian music. Celebrating the songs that made it famous and the artists that made it legendary.
You.
Serving up another plate of Aussie music. The Screaming Jets, Dave Gleeson.
Hey.
The Oztober Lunch.
Yes, we're celebrating Aussie music's greatest hits. It's the Oztober Lunch with Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and the Angels. Good to see you again, man.
Good to be here, Maddie, with you again. And I do make a point of every time I do a little stint on the radio, telling everyone to turn it up and rip your knob off. So I've forgotten to do it so far, but I'd just love to say it. I think I saw it on The Family Guy.
Yeah,
turn
it
up and
right.
Rip the knob off. I love radio, and to be on radio and celebrating all things Australian rock through the month of Oztober is an absolute pleasure.
It's been awesome. And we've been getting in Aussie artists to come in every day and have a chat about music, how they started. And today is no different. We've got Busby Maru coming in.
Yeah, these guys are fantastic. I've bumped into them. My wife did a bit of PR work for them early on in their careers, and I've met them around the traps. And two lovelier young men you won't meet. And the way they put together their songs and their melodies is really beautiful to listen to. And when they get together and do their live show, obviously they have a band with them and stuff like that. So it really meets the performance up. But we're going to talk to those guys about what they've been up to lately.
Looking forward to it. We've got a very special acoustic performance, and we can tell you how to get involved in our Oztober garage sessions. But it's all about Rat Cat, and you got a bit of a story about these guys.
Oh, here we go. Who chose Rat Cat? I chose Rat Cat because there is a story. Way back in 1991, when we bought our first album, All for One, out, which one of the rock scribes at Rolling Stone said should have been called All for Naught. What a joke.
That is brutal, man.
Oh, so cruel. We were young men, we were impressionable, and we saw that.
That's terrible, dude.
We were a bit crushed and had to wait some 30 years to get a good review in Rolling Stone. But, the band that kept us out of the number one spot on the Australian album charts was Rat Cat. With an EP.
Oh,
so there was a huge
hurts.
Bone of contention.
Especially
right?
An EP, that hurts.
They hadn't even gone to the trouble of making a full album.
Couldn't put on five more songs, man. What a burn.
That's right. We were so dirty. But yeah, I mean, Ruart Records, who had us both on their label, they were actually doing backflips at the time to have number one and two and be an independent record label in 1991. So props to Rat Cat. I know that Simon Day's still out there doing a bit of stuff around the traps, and every now and again the three of them get back together and do a show here and there around Sydney. So good luck to them. They'll always be number ones, and we'll always be number twos.
Oztober.
A great song that came out and kind of blew everyone out of the water, really. It was something that Australian rock had never heard. Yothu Yindi. They were an absolute touring troupe, and the entertainment and the dancing and the vibe on stage was absolutely electric, and no wonder they went so well, not only in Australia but all around the world, with a song that obviously had a great vibe and was a brilliant piece of music, but obviously a message that still remains current to this day.
Yep.
The Oils recently recorded a version of Treaty, and we're still waiting for something to be done on that front. There's been great leaps made in the last 20 or 30 years since to reconciliation and stuff like that, but there's still a way to go. So while you're listening to the song, think about how far we've come and how far we've got to go. And it's a great song, Treaty by Yothu Yindi.
Oztober.
This is the Oztober Lunch. We're celebrating all things Australian music with Gleeso from the Screaming Jets and the Angels, and we are very excited to have the boys from Busby Maru in the studio.
Yeah, g'day, Thomas and Jeremy. How are you going, lads?
Really pretty good, fantastic.
Yeah. Your new album, The Great Divide. Tell us about the making of that.
Mate, it was a long time coming, as these albums are these days. We've been writing and writing for years since we released the last album. We had a bunch of songs, actually, that we're kind of saving for this album. It took us a little while to find who we wanted to work with. And after we found that guy, who was Oscar Dawson from Holy Holy, we just knew straight away that this is the record you know, this is our fourth record. We can do what we want. We can relax. We can not have any outside pressure to write radio songs or anything for anyone else. We just wanted to write what we believed in. And being signed by a record company, that's a pretty odd thing to say you're able to do, but they definitely supported that.
So being that this is Oztober month, what music, Australian music in particular, did you guys listen to when you were, you know, young tackers?
Oh, mate, you've heard of a band called Screaming Jets?
Correct.
No, everything, mate. We're very much Australian. Johnny Diesel to Paul Kelly, the, you know, Chisel, Noiseworks, all that growing up. It was just such a... I'm the youngest of eight kids, and so my brothers and sisters were jamming music down my throat for years, you know, the latest thing to come out. And, you know, I remember James Blundell being a huge thing back in the day. We actually got to sing with him on stage last year. He came on and... It was like a 25-year anniversary of Way Out West.
It's unreal.
He came on stage and we sang that. So we're experiencing all these awesome moments, including like, you know, Peter Garrett inviting us on stage a couple of months ago to sing Treaty with Midnight Oil at the Big Red Bash.
Oh, awesome, man. That gives me goosebumps hearing that version that they did. It's just amazing that... you know, that how well that song stands up after, you know, 20-something years.
Oh, mate, that's definitely a career highlight for us.
I've been talking to Maddie about when you go overseas and people go, you've got that really Australian sound. And you're like, what, that really Midnight Oily, In Excess-y, AC/DC. It's like, yeah. It's so diverse, the Australian music soundscape. That you're right. It's like things come from all different areas to float people's boats.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the past, people were like, we were almost told that it was probably something that could be a disadvantage overseas. You're like, oh yeah, you're very Australian though. You know, you're very Australian. Like, well, that's where we're born.
Mate. Well, the best one is, oh, you're very Queensland. So like, Queensland, you never sound. Can't play footy, but you sound Queensland.
You are ambassadors for Queensland. What's that like for a couple of young blokes from Rocky? It must make you feel fairly proud of, you know, of just how much of a path you've forged.
Yes, it's been it's paid the bills. Because music doesn't.
But like, you know, Jeremy and I naturally skite about our hometown and we have a natural love for it. We're proud of being Rocky boys. We're proud of Queensland. We're proud of the lessons we were taught, you know, growing up in big families and all that. And so I suppose in our songs, we talk about that across the world. And, you know, that's probably what drew, you know, the Queensland tourism people, I mean, us to them. It definitely wasn't that... You know, we resembled Lara Bingle, the last
We haven't seen the bloody liars.
Yeah, we you know, we're not wearing bikinis, and we're trying to get people into the States. So, it's been an awesome, fun journey watching those. You know, watching the ads on TV when you see them pop up. You know, you can often cringe when you see a music video or us in photos. We're just not good at that. But they were able to capture Jeremy and I exactly as who we are, and. You know, I remember rocking up for the first day on set and we were wearing ripped board shorts and t-shirts and we thought we're going to get new clothes here. This is going to be great. We're going to actually look clean and classy and people are going to think we're pro. And we got dressed in all the wardrobe and the director came out and went, get that shit off them. What, put them back in what they were wearing. I'm like, are you kidding, mate? They're our clothes. He went, good. And so, yeah, we walked away with the same board shorts we walked in with. Unreal.
When we first moved to Sydney, 1990, the Jets moved down to King's Cross and a band called the Baby Animals had just started up around Sydney at the time and they'd been supporting the Angels and there was a place called Springfields where we all used to meet up and hang out till all hours of the day and we had a very close relationship with the Baby Animals, some of us more than others. Oh.
Hey,
she keeps
we
saying,
get an exclusive there?
She keeps
What's
saying,
going on?
Shut up, you idiot, it was 30 years ago.
Oh, so, hey. There we go, but, the cat's out of the bag.
But both bands, we had a very special relationship. We did our first, the Screaming Jets' first headline tour. We had the Baby Animals and a band from Melbourne called The Degenerates on tour with us, and we went around and did all the festival centres and Horden Pavilion and stuff like that. It was a massive time, and I got to see the Baby Animals kind of work their songs up, and they hadn't even recorded their first album. So, you know, how songs go, you play them live, and they change a little bit, and then you get in the studio with a big producer, and then they change a lot. So to see these guys, you know, go from a working band working up their repertoire to come out with that album, I mean, their first album absolutely blew everyone out of the water. I think it's still one of the highest selling Australian rock debut albums of all time. It was just that good. Every song on it was a winner. And we're going to pick one of them, Rush You, an acoustic version. She's got to be the premier lady of Australian rock, has Susie DiMarchi and Dave Leslie on guitar, an absolutely ball-tearing band. So let's get this on. Rush You Acoustic by the Baby Animals.
Mate, she's going to be calling you going, you've just let a serious cat out of the bag live on radio around the country.
She's going to say, shut up, we went out on two dates, you idiot.
Very special guest coming in tomorrow, Gleeso.
Yeah, well, a bloke who very early on took the Australian music industry by the scruff of the neck, came out as a sunglasses at all times wearing guy. I don't think I've ever seen Richard Clapton without sunglasses on.
Yeah.
I only recently saw some classic footage. He was doing one of his songs on Countdown, and they had all these like chicks in swimmers dancing around him. Yeah. The most uncomfortable person you've ever seen on television was Richard Clapton at that time, but he has written some great songs, and it'll be great to catch up with him. He's always got a great yarn to tell about his heady times in Australian rock.
Beautiful, Gleeso. Looking forward to it. Another fun show, mate. Let's go out and get some lunch, and we'll see everyone tomorrow.
Your shout.
Beautiful. Done. Oztober.